It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Here we go. Let's get a quick spin. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, you got to get it
oh,
in.
Oh, Minnesota Vikings. This is easy. Mike Zimmer wants a guy that's polished. How about Jalen Phillips from Miami? This is a polished technician with outstanding athleticism. You put him opposite Danielle Hunter. Look out.
Love it.
Reckless speculation.
Love me some Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. Reckless draft spin the wheel speculation there.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Week out, you spin that damn wheel and let it come up where it does.
Hey, executive producer Declan, what needs to happen for us to get a wheel to spin?
I can tell you right now, I'm not creative enough to make one, even despite my executive title. I will delegate that to the associate producers, I think, on the weekend. We're much more creative.
We'll assign it to Jason or AJ or something and see what happens. This is a Reckless Speculation Thursday on Mackie and Judd. We appreciate everyone who has either given us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple or who has subscribed to one of our two YouTube channels, Score North and Purple Daily. But Reckless Speculation Thursday means Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department and the Scoop Podcast, which you can find on scorenorth.com, Apple, Spotify. Inside information about your favorite Minnesota sports teams. Hello, Darren.
Good morning, Phil. Here's how you get one of those wheels. It's called a bigger budget. You make a phone call to Dan Seaman, the big boss, and say, hey, Dan.
I think he's walking in right
Listen,
now. I'll just go get him.
There's been way too many budget cuts the last 13, 14 months. It's time to give back. We need one of those damn wheels.
What we need is a wheel.
Cut the check.
Yeah. Listen, we don't need any more full-time people. Yeah. We're fine, just the three of us. We just need a wheel.
The problem is that the line would be cut Judd, and then we get the wheel.
Judd or wheel?
Judd or wheel. Hey, it's Mackie and Declan here, and we got a wheel.
It's Mackie and the wheel with executive producer Declan.
So, wheel, that's a very tough call. What were you thinking?
So, Doogie, we are a week away from the NFL draft, and we're going to be live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, so you can find us there, just probably getting buzzed and spewing takes all throughout the night. But what is your – we did a mock draft simulation a couple days ago here, and yes, we do mock draft simulations on this show. Trey Lance at one point fell to us. I woke up this morning. I was texting Declan Judd. I woke up this morning and fired up the Draft Network and just did my own I was just kind of, all right, I'm looking for something to do here. I clearly have nothing else to do, so I'm just going to do a mock draft simulation. Justin Fields fell to us at 14.
Wait, hold
in that
on a
simulation.
Second. So you cheated on us?
Yeah, he wasn't cheating on us.
He did his own draft simulation. I thought we were all in this together.
This is a monogamous relationship here.
You've got the pro account. You're fine. But Doogie, let's just say for fun, let's just start here. If one of these quarterbacks like Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Mac Jones falls to 14, what do you think the Vikings do in that spot?
Well, I can tell you this much. Based on correspondence, Clint Kubiak, Vikings' new play caller, offensive coordinator, the one doing a majority of the quarterback work, that based on his correspondence with those in Fargo with the North Dakota State Bison football program, that Clint Kubiak and the Vikings, this is a collective opinion over from Egan, that they don't believe there is any scenario where Trey Lance gets to 14. That they like him. Don't get me wrong. They've done incredible homework on the Marshall, Minnesota native. I think if he somehow fell to 14, unless one of the two main tackles, the Northwestern kid or the Oregon kid somehow falls, you know, maybe then there would be an interesting decision to be made. But I think if Trey Lance is staring them in the face at 14, I think they would pull the trigger. I do. I don't know about Fields.
Yes.
You know, now we have the latest in the last 24 hours. You know, some of his battles with seizures, although it doesn't seem like there's any long-term concerns with that. I don't have a good sense right now, 1 week out. Plus, there's so many smoke screens anyway, so it's hard to know what information to trust, not trust. But I do feel confident that they have a healthy opinion of Trey Lance.
So if you were to give us your best guess right now, Dukes, on draft night, first round, 14th pick comes up, do you think that they make the selection, or do you think that there's a higher probability on, if things are falling right, that they actually trade back and try and take a defensive player, let's say in the 20s, and somehow, if they can, I think ideally in their world, recoup that the second round pick that went to Jacksonville in the Ngakoue trade?
Yeah, because like you talk to enough evaluators, it's not like there's this one pass rusher that just jumps out at pick 14, whether it's the two Miami guys, Quiddy Pay from Michigan. There are question marks, some red flags with all those guys. You know, it kind of depends on what body type maybe you want, what sort of athletic type you want. But there's not one obvious guy there at 14. So, sure, if there's an opportunity. My question back to you, though, is who is jumping up? Now, I do think Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, the Alabama wide receiver, is going to be there at 14. So maybe that is the guy. That's somebody, Baltimore, Tennessee, somebody with an obvious wide receiver need, Green Bay. Maybe somebody wants to jump up to 14, but then how far are you going backwards? I also would not necessarily rule out this scenario. Maybe it's only a 10 or 15% chance. But if one of those tackles gets to 7, 8, 9, Denver, George Payton, 7, Spielman's brother, Chris, very much involved in the Detroit Lions draft process.
Division.
I'm just saying, if one of those tackles, Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater, gets past, you know, Cincinnati at 5, I don't think Miami at 6 is going tackle. So then all of a sudden, if both tackles are sitting there, 7, 8, into 9, into 10, like I'm positive, Judd. You know, like I saw Jerry Jones go on the record with this, or maybe it was Stephen Jones, somebody from the Cowboys. They're starting to pick up the phone, have trade dialogue. It's clear the Vikings have talked to the teams in front of them, right? Maybe they don't have a great idea on what it would take to move up 3, 4, 5 spots, but I'm just saying it is such a glaring need. And you look at the Vikings' schedule this year, it always includes Khalil Mack in Chicago, but they have Cleveland. They have all these really good pass rushers on their schedule this year, Dallas, right, with Lawrence. You look at the schedule, they have this glaring need of needing a left tackle. Like, I think if there's a chance to move up, I wouldn't dismiss that possibility. I really wouldn't. Now, then it comes down to, what's the compensation? Are you giving up your 2022 first to move up? And I would just say this. If you feel like Slater or Sewell has a chance to be a 10-year Pro Bowl type, you know, maybe not even a Hall of Fame type. If you think he's a Hall of Famer, then yeah, it's a no-brainer. But if you just feel like, you know, that guy has a chance to be a top-tier, upper echelon left tackle, you give up your 2022 first to go get that guy. Solve that position for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that they trade back in the first round than trade up. But I think it's very likely that they use the stash of third and fourth round picks that they have to trade into the second round. So, I mean, that's just my amateur take on this.
Well, I don't think it's an amateur take, Phil. I think, yeah, logically speaking, there is a better chance they move back than move up. But I do think, I mean, they kick around all sorts of different scenarios, right? I mean, they are meeting for 12, 13, 14 hours a day. Undoubtedly, they've kicked around the idea of what will it take if one of those tackles falls? If one of those tackles, you know, that we love, if Cincinnati doesn't go tackle at 5, I don't think they will. I think they'll go Jamar Chase of LSU. But you could make a case that Cincinnati should go tackle at pick 5. But if they don't, I'm just telling you, that is one scenario the Vikings have talked about. Hey, let's move up. Let's go get that left tackle.
Okay, here's another thing that some of this is more of just like philosophically, what are they looking to do offensively? But there's been a couple scenarios in the simulations that we have done where Kyle Pitts has fallen into the teens. I don't think that's going to happen.
0% chance.
Oh, God.
Zero. I can just tell you, based on a few text messages I could show you right now. There are so many Kyle Pitts fans. Like, of the non-quarterbacks, like, he is the guy. He is the man.
Yeah.
I will be shocked. There's not a whole lot I would bet on. It's tougher this year compared to previous years with no top 30 visits, no private workouts. So it's more complicated than ever from my standpoint. But, Phil, I'm just telling you, like, I feel uber confident that there is a 0% chance that Kyle Pitts gets to pick 14.
I'm comfortable with that. By the way, these scoops from Doogie today presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. So, you know, listen, they can't help protect against your favorite offensive tackle getting drafted five spots before you draft, but they can protect you as a business owner if you're based in Minnesota especially. They've been around for over 100 years in Owatonna, Minnesota. They have some of the best people in the business to help your business maximize its potential. Help you sleep better at night with risk management tools. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Judd, any other Vikings draft things you want to throw at Doogie here?
Yes. Dukes, let's go back to Trey Lance. And let's say Lance does fall, okay? I don't think he will, but let's say he does. And the Vikings pull the trigger on Trey Lance at 14. What's the internal discussion and potentially more juicy and more fun internal dissension? Because if, as we talked about on the show yesterday, if they do that, that's not a move that has anything to do with 2021. That's 2022. That's for sure 2023. And I told Phil this. To me, that move, which, by the way, I would personally applaud. Like, that's a great chance to take. But that move to me is a clear sign that Spielman would be severing himself from Zim. Because I'm sure Mike would say, hold on a second here. We have all these needs for 2021, and you're taking a quarterback, which is great for you, but I might get fired here. What do you think that dynamic would be like internally? Because I think it would be exciting. I think the fan base would buy it, but it also would do nothing for you short term as far as that first round pick.
But would it help if in the conversations with Mark Wilf, with Ziggy Wilf, that you sell to them, hey, this is a 2 to 3 year process. Like, and if 2021 doesn't go well, like, we're back in 2022. Can you give us some assurance that we can invest in this young quarterback, that you give us that leeway that regardless of how 2021 plays out, we're here not only in 2022, but likely in 2023 as well.
But what I'm saying is, would Rick go rogue to a certain degree to go away from Mike to
Well, that's
to
not have Rick. That, right.
To have that discussion.
There's too much of a track record to suggest Rick won't do that. Yeah. Right? That Rick and Mike, for the most part.
People in jeopardy.
What Doogie just brought up, I think, we've had these discussions too, which is we always get to this fork in the road with Mike Zimmer where it's like, well, it's just time to fire him. If you identify a quarterback of the future, then it's time to fire him. If I'm Mike Zimmer and I want to prolong my career with the Minnesota Vikings, and a quarterback is falling to 14 that could be a franchise guy for 8 to 10 years, that's exactly the conversation I'm having with the Wilfs, which is, hey, listen, we're going to compete like hell in 2021. Our defense is going to be better. Kirk Cousins was great in the second half last year. We're going to do whatever we can. But we're still a piece or two short from being a true contender because we just spent a first-round pick on a quarterback. But I want to develop this guy for 2022-23. Rick wanted to draft this guy for 2022-23. So instead of judging us based on if we can eke to 10 wins in 2021, judge us on a Super Bowl blueprint for the next 3 to 5 years. That's what the conversation should be, not how much toothpaste can you squeeze out of the tube this year by passing on Trey Lance in favor of Quiddy Pay, for instance.
Let's morph this conversation into a more likely scenario where they take a quarterback in the middle rounds. Yep. If they don't go quarterback.
Agreed.
In the first round, but maybe as soon as pick 78. Now, maybe 78 is packaged with another pick. Mm-hmm. You're right, Judd. I mean, Rick is going to make every effort possible to move back into the second round. But let's say they stick at 78. Let's say the Texas A&M quarterback, Kellen Mond, is staring them in the face at pick 78.
Phil loves this kid.
How much does that change the conversation? Yet, Phil, you love him. I talked about this for a name drop. Desmond Howard is doing some ABC ESPN draft analysis. So I did a Zoom with Desmond on Tuesday. So I said to Desmond, hey, of the middle tier quarterback. So not Jones, you know, not the presumed first round guys. Of the middle tier guys, who's one guy you really like? Who did Desmond say? Kellen Mond. The Vikings have done unbelievable homework on Kellen Mond. Now, does that mean they love him? I can't tell you that definitively, but my sense is there are Kellen Mond fans in Eagan. So let's say Mond is staring them in the face at 78. Does that change things, or can we have that same conversation we just had?
No, I think you're far
with the first round quarterback.
I think that in their world, that's probably ideal. Because I think the Wilfs buy in. I think Zim says, okay, I'd like a defensive player here, but that's okay. I'm saying the first round dynamic intrigues me because what Phil said is correct. It's not how the Vikings think, though. Like, they took Bradbury in the first round, and if they tell you that that was not a stretch and a reach, they're lying, okay? So what Phil said would be the ideal conversation for the Vikings to have. I believe the reality is that they think first-round pick is going to help us. But where you are going to, Dukes, actually makes the most sense from their standpoint then, because I think that you can sell a pick like Mond to everybody. I think Zim buys into that. I think Spielman does. I think the Wilfs do.
Does Kirk
of course he doesn't, and I don't care.
I mean, that's the obvious response. I mean, if you're Kirk, who gives a bleep?
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, if Kellen Mond, the selection of Kellen Mond in the third round throws Kirk for a loop? Like, give me a break.
Seriously.
Dukes, they,
and I don't think it would, by the way.
They told that kid from the Calgary bleeping Stampeders of the CFL who said, I want to compete. Oh, that's not what we really want.
I remember
so
that.
So Kellen Mond would bother Kirk. There's no doubt in my mind it would bother Kirk.
Yeah, I do think they're taking a quarterback at some point. Like, I'm positive they are taking a linebacker at some point. Most likely day three, not day one or day two, but they are taking a linebacker. Undoubtedly, they are taking a pass rusher. In fact, I know Andre Patterson and the assistant defensive line coach had yet another Zoom conversation with a middle tier. I won't say his name quite this second, but they had like a third or fourth Zoom with a guy yesterday. So they are taking a pass rusher at some point. I think they take a safety at some point. I think they take a cornerback at some point. Maybe tight end. I still think they take multiple offensive linemen. I think it's two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd put the over-under at 1.5. I'd bet the over. I think they take two offensive linemen. And I think they take a quarterback. I do. Now, running back, they can use one, right? Lose Boom, but you'll find one in undrafted free agency. They could use a kicker to compete with Joseph, but I think you end up signing a guy undrafted free agency. But when it comes to the 10 draft picks, and 10 may end up as 9 or 8, but I'm just telling you, all those positions I just named, I feel confident that they are going to take those positions.
All right, you guys ready to pick up the twin scab here off of the late innings yesterday? If I'm in the Twins clubhouse right now, this is just my own personal opinion. If I'm in the Twins clubhouse right now, and yesterday was a back and forth slugfest, hard fought, a lot of things not going right, but you have a chance to win that game, and a routine bouncing ball to Travis Blankenhorn's left is turned into a Tsuyoshi Nishioka disaster mess and extends the game, and then Arraez throws a ball into the stratosphere. I'm looking over at Andrelton Simmons, who's probably not in the clubhouse because he has COVID, and I'm thinking, all right, dude, listen, I don't want to get into like an anti-vax debate, but your personal stance on not getting a vaccine has directly led to multiple players missing from the roster, including yourself, and directly led to Travis Blankenhorn being in over his head in a late inning situation. Like, it wouldn't. What's happened the last week would not sit well with me personally if I were in the Twins clubhouse, Doogie.
I think that dynamic absolutely exists right now, Phil. I'm not sure the Twins, like other teams, like the St. Louis Cardinals and others, will reach the 85% threshold when it comes to guys that have been vaccinated. So that means that the Cardinals, other teams that do get to that 85% mark, they can do certain things. They can leave the hotel. They can go to Topgolf. They can do all sorts of different things on the road. I don't know if the Twins are going to get there. And that, to me, would create just unbelievable friction. If you're Nelson Cruz, like, how are you not pissed off? Mm-hmm. Other guys, right? And so there has to be all sorts of peer pressure for the Simmonses of the world. Just go get the damn vaccine. There's enough science out there. Do your research, but just do it for the greater good of the chemistry in this clubhouse. But yeah, no doubt in my mind, it's a really, really awkward clubhouse right now. It is.
And the problem is that we don't, like, now it's too late. So now he didn't, and he spread this thing, and yeah.
Well, it's not too late. I mean, he can still get the vaccine. You need to wait a certain amount of time.
No, but
he could still get the vaccine.
No, I'm saying the first damage is done now because mm-hmm. he got sick. He spread it. They've got it. They're trying to make up games now. At some point in time, someone's going to have to make up two games on the West Coast. And so, like, this whole thing is now a huge pain.
By the way, the Twins are not good in seven-inning games, right?
And they're not good in extras. What's your personal opinion about this? Because right now, this thing looks like it's going off the tracks. And what, it's 16 games in or so. So it's not, you know, we're not 20 games in. So it's still very early in the season. But what's your personal opinion about what we're seeing here and the dynamic of it feels like some years things start to go wrong and they don't come back? Are we going down that path, in your opinion, Dukes?
Well, it is odd. I mean, how they've lost a few games where the win probability was 96%, 98%. Let's not forget they blew a 6-run lead to Seattle. I mean, they've lost so many weird ways, right? Lose that 6-run lead, end up losing that game to the Mariners. You don't score 2 days ago, 2 7-inning, you know, doubleheader type situation. You don't score over those 14 innings. Then the way Wednesday played out, right? Blowing 4 different leads. Colome blowing 2 save opportunities. But, like, do I think, like, as I look at the standings, the 2 worst teams in the American League right now,
yep.
the New York Yankees
yeah.
and the Minnesota Twins.
Exactly.
Do I think it'll end up like that in late September? No. Do I have a strong belief that, like, this is going to keep spiraling out of control for the Twins? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. If you look at the next 14 to 16 games, I think we'll learn a lot more in the next 2.5 weeks. Look at the schedule. It's the Pirates. It's the Indians. It's the Royals. Phil, do you have the schedule handy or Declan? The next 16 games will tell us a lot because, like, over the next 16 games, they need to find a way to go at least 9-7, but more like 10-6, maybe even 11-5.
Yeah, they have Pittsburgh for 3, at Cleveland for 3, versus Kansas City for 3, versus Texas for 4, Detroit for 4, and then you'll get some meat and potatoes with Chicago and Oakland. And
okay, Denver. But through the Detroit series,
yeah.
those are a lot of winnable games, but then we thought that about the Red Sox games here, right? The sure. Mariners games here, but these next 16... Yeah. They need to rattle off 9 or 10, if not 11 or 12 victories. I think we'll know more in the next 2.5 weeks. But right now, I don't have a great cause for concern. On individuals, I do. Like, Colome is Ron Davis right now, right? So that's a concern. Miguel Sano is a concern. There needs to be multiple roster moves later today or tomorrow morning. Alex Kirilloff, Cody Stashek. Those two need to be in the Twins clubhouse tomorrow. The Saints are doing a sim game this afternoon. Nice. I don't know if Stashek is pitching or not. Hopefully he's not. But Stashek needs to be back with the Twins tomorrow. They need to call up Alex Kirilloff. Like, right now, you've got Telus on the 26-man roster. You've got Blankenhorn on the 26-man roster. Like, come on. Get Alex Kirilloff yeah. up here. I may even take it a step further. Call me nuts. I'm Jake Caved out. Like, if you want him as the fourth outfielder, fine. But
nuts.
I'm Jake Caved.
You've come to the right party.
You're in the right
you've come
show,
to the right
man.
Party. The yeah.
It's Trevor Larnach time.
God.
Like, he's not
whoa,
a young.
Whoa,
he's
Larnach.
Not a young guy. He's a college guy. It's not like they drafted him at 17.
Reckless speculation. Yeah.
And I get it. Last right. year was a throwaway year. He could use some AAA at bats. So maybe right this second is a bit aggressive. But, like, I want Trevor Larnach in the outfield here pretty
hey.
Darn quick.
Doogie, yeah, I'm watching Brent Rooker play right field yesterday.
And then Kirilloff at first base. And you limit the Miguel Sano at-bats.
Yeah, I'm watching Brent Rooker play right field yesterday. Do you have an update on his 2 torn Achilles tendons?
Oof.
Or is it too butcher of Edward Scissorhands?
I still think there's something there with Rooker.
Does he have six torn knee ligaments that I don't know about? Like, like, is he carrying an invisible piano around with him in right field?
What is he has swung and missed at some pitches that I know he can hit. So I don't know what the heck's going on with Rooker right now. I'm not off the Rooker bandwagon, but I don't want him as an everyday guy right now.
Not in your outfield, you don't.
So I'm willing to mix it up a little bit. Certainly Kirilloff. Like Alex Kirilloff.
Kirilloff can come up now, right?
Needs to be. Yeah, I think it's today, isn't it? Or it's tomorrow. It's April 22nd or April 23rd.
He got the one day because they called him up for the splitty against the Red Sox, right? So he got one day. So I think it backed it up. It was originally April 16th.
Okay, so we're even a few days. So, yeah.
So I think he can be up for tomorrow's game.
Yeah, you get the extra year of, what, 2027? Yeah. Who cares right now about 2027? Yeah, have to have Kirilloff in the lineup tomorrow. Like, that to me is a no-brainer. Yeah.
There are certain things you can fix, you know, and I think certain things that will be fixed. There's a couple of things that can't be fixed when it comes to the Twins that I worry about. And it's this, it goes back to last year too. I mean, there's been playoff yips and whatnot, but there was a couple plays defensively last year where like the moment just swallowed guys up. The Jorge Polanco errant throw in the game against the Astros.
Although his
ankle
was so messed up. He should not have been playing all those games last year. His ankle was more messed up than anybody knew. Then we found out after the fact. I actually ended up doing an interview with him via his agent with the translating. But like Jorge told me, like he battled through. Like there's no way he should have played almost every day last year.
Then you guys remember there was a tailor-made triple play hit at Luis Arraez last year. And he sort of freaked out, like didn't know what to do, what base to throw it to. A couple other instances in the playoffs where guys just had to do basic things to move runners or defensively, and Jake Cave with these errant dives in the outfield. Then yesterday, you know, two just basic defensive plays. Yeah, and the pressure's sort of high, but it's also Wednesday in Oakland, the third week in the season. But in that moment, Blankenhorn was clearly swallowed up. Arraez was clearly swallowed up. That ball didn't just, like, slip out of his hand. He was nervous.
Yeah. Did he make a mistake at all? Could he have gotten the runner running to third base? Now, I think
it was close.
The logical play is you field the ball, you make the throw across the diamond. I understand his thought process there, but I just wonder in hindsight if he should have just run over to the third base bag and tagged the bag.
You've got a manager that really, like, his main attribute, he's supposed to specialize in being super level-headed and meditative.
Which he is. I don't think anybody would debate that.
So why does the team clam up in big spots? And if that's the case, then he clearly isn't effectively conveying his meditative state to some of these players. Like, why are you getting that nervous on a basic throw from third to first? But they've got the games on the line. Oh, my God. And like, throw the ball into the upper deck. Like, it's infuriating to me.
The Blankenhorn one, you can't make up. Like, really. Like
what is he doing?
My 10-year-old.
Is it the first time he's ever seen
goes, a ball? Dad, I make that play. And, like, I feel confident that he
I'm
would.
With him.
Like, he practices every day. He loves it. Like, I'm positive. Call that routine ground ball.
Call Drugie up.
He makes that play. My 10-year-old makes that play.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. I mean, a good player for his age. He's not an all-star for his age. And he makes that play. Like, I don't know how Blankenhorn blew that. I really don't.
He cannot be on the team today. You can't be that nervous and that just, like, completely inept. And maybe he'll be ready. He was a third-round pick. Maybe he'll be ready in a year to play in the major leagues. But when your emotions are that absolutely just overtaken by a Wednesday game in Oakland, third week in the regular season, it's time to go take some deep breaths in St. Paul. Sorry.
My two problems with that game, among them, my two biggest problems are this. Maeda start. What the hell is going on? And Colome, who came in the ninth of a wild game. I mean, this is the definition of what a closer should do, right? Been a wild game, but we're up by one. Oh, my God. Oh, here's a save. Look at that. Now we're going home, and the trip sucked, but at least we won. When it's like the Twins have spent the first 2 weeks of this year with a gasoline can and matches. And everywhere that they go, they pour the gasoline out, Dukes, and they take the matches and throw it on and say, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. And, of course, it blows up. But the Maeda start was brutal, like concerningly bad. I hope that's not a sign of
things
to come.
Although that Oakland lineup.
Yeah, but
They just don't strike. I love them.
And look, every year they're incredible because every year they should be horse bleep and they're good and they've got some great players. But that being said, Maeda's the exact guy that you wanted to send out for that start yesterday, I thought. And it could not have gone worse. You know, if he got through five or something, you're like, okay, it wasn't great, but it wasn't. But, I mean, that whole thing just, to me, fed into what the meltdown of the first 2 weeks of the 2021 Twins season has been.
And that's why when I say that there are individual concerns from my standpoint, that on a collective basis, I still feel okay. Plus, hey, I think every team in the division has some warts right now.
Yep.
You know, so I don't think the White Sox, I don't think anybody's winning 94 games in this division.
Okay.
Like, you may end up winning the Central at 89 or 90. But, like, yeah, it's the two guys you just mentioned. It's Sano, like, go up and down the list. And, like, Phil, on Colome, and he's now Alexander. Like, when did that happen?
What?
He's been Alex for how long?
The
and all of a sudden, now he's Alexander.
The last couple weeks.
All right, Alexander.
I want to go back to Alex.
Doesn't he have, like, any swing and miss type stuff, Phil? Like, I thought at some point
he could
induce a swing and a miss. He's not inducing any swings and misses right now.
Yeah, this is as bad as he's looked in probably several years. I think he's going to be fine at some point. It's not like he's throwing, you know, his velocity is still touching mid-90s, but so this is going to be really stat nerdy, but he gets swings and misses on 25% of swings in his career. So, now, is he Josh Hader? No, but, like, he gets more swings and misses than you've seen in the last few outings, for sure. So, you know, see, he doesn't have command, clearly doesn't have confidence. He's just nibbling on the edges, and I think he gets thrown for a loop when, like, yesterday there was a couple at-bats where guys would foul off on strike two or three times, and he just doesn't know what to do, so he starts nibbling, and he's afraid of contact. And I would be, too, if I had spaz infielders, because Andrelton Simmons is going to be out for another week. So anyway,
that's why I think when they do have their full complement, when Kepler's back, when Thielbar's back in the bullpen, like, they missed Thielbar yesterday, right? Mm. And he's not positive. I texted with Caleb the other day. Like, this is contact tracing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard for him to wrap his arms around that. Like, I'm fine. Like, yeah. I don't have it, but now I'm on this COVID list, and I can't help my team win a game in Oakland. You know, but when they get Thielbar back, Kepler, Simmons, get all these guys back, I still think they're a pretty good team. I do.
All right, we know that you have to go here, Doogie, so any parting scoop shots here before we say goodbye?
We should get some news. I swapped messages with Philip Rabrasha, North Dakota basketball transfer. Had a really good game against the Gophers in December at the Barn, 20-something points. He's one of the better players, probably top 100 right now, in the portal. The portal includes over 1,200 players right now. I actually think it's closer to 1,400. I mean, it's free agency in college basketball. But anyway, Ben Johnson did another Zoom with him earlier this week. Rabrasha told me his decision is imminent. So that could be later today, could be tomorrow. I suppose it could be Saturday, but sometime here pretty quick. It seemingly is down to, now Rick Pitino is pushing hard at Iona, but it looks like for Rabrasha, the Gophers or the Iowa Hawkeyes. So a nice little battle, Minnesota and Iowa. I mentioned to Judd the other day, but I'll mention to you, Phil, you know, and anybody that maybe didn't watch us on Tuesday. Tuesday was such a hectic day with the verdict. So I get it that our conversation got lost. Tom Curvers, Wild assistant general manager. Just if you're into prayer, he's got inoperable lung cancer. Just if you're into prayer, or just if you're not, just have Tom Curvers in your thoughts. Great guy.
It's too bad.
And yeah, I mean, he's not even 60 years old, and it's not going well right now. So just thoughts and prayers out to Tom Curvers.
All right. Doogie, thanks for joining as always. And people can find, so there's going to be three doses of Doogie every single week. His Scoop podcast on scorenorth.com, and you can also find it on kstp.com. And then bonus Scoop with Judd on Tuesdays on Mackie and Judd, and then the main event Scoop here also on Thursdays on the show. So, Dukes, we'll talk next week.
Thank you, Phil. Then conversations I've had the last few days, Mark Coyle, Desmond Howard, my buddy Thor Nystrom, who covers the draft for formerly Roto World. It's now NBC Sports Edge, but he's a draft aficionado. We went for like 45 minutes. Bunch on the Vikings, bunch on Rashad Bateman. So I've got those conversations to get out there. Peyton Willis, I caught up with the new Gophers guard. The old Gophers guard, who is now the new Gophers guard, who right now is their starting point guard. I caught up with Peyton. I caught up with Parker Fox after he committed to the Gopher basketball team. So I've got all those conversations to get on, whether it's my next scoop or maybe a couple scoops. I've got those conversations to get out there in the coming days.
Love it.
And Mark Coyle was good. I mean, I talked to Mark for 30-something minutes. Judd, at the end, I brought it up that he should do more.
Yep.
And he said, yeah. And he goes, Doogie, you know, I get my second vaccine here in a few weeks. You know, and I told him that I am too. He goes, let's get together for lunch. You know, coffee. He's not a coffee guy. He's a hot chocolate guy. But he goes, let's get together and formulate some sort of plan. You know, and I even said to Mark, I go, not just me. Like, you know, the other TV stations in town.
No, screw them.
But
just me.
Yeah, so we're going to come up with something where hopefully Mark does a little bit more in terms of interviews.
All the scoops.
All right, Dukes.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, boys.
Bye.
All right, that's Darren Doogie Wolfson from 5 Eyewitness News. All right, well, we sort of touched on pulling the Band-Aid off that ridiculous loss for the Twins yesterday, but let's make it official here, boys. That's right. We talk Twins. Talking Twins with Mackie
Travis
and Judd.
Travis Blankenhorn sore.
Every day.
Oh, my God.
Talking Travis Blankenhorn every single day on the show here and our Talking Twins discussions, powered in part by our friends at Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. Best in the business. If you like to ride motorcycles, it's super nice out in the Twin Cities today. It's a little bit of a riding season glimpse here today. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Order before 8 p.m. They ship the same day, and shipping is free on orders over $89. DennisKirk.com. You know, I don't think we need to waste any more time. Let's just get right to the...
Now on Mackie and Judd.
This chart makes it as clear as I can to you.
The pie chart of blame.
You want to blame somebody?
Can I go first?
Sure. Of course.
Okay.
Your show.
I didn't sleep last night.
Ooh.
Blankenhorn.
What about that Arise, though? Come on.
Blankenhorn. All right.
See you, Dukes.
Well, we'll get there.
Bye.
Bye, Doogie. All right. I have 5 slices of pie.
Ooh.
On my pie chart of blame.
The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
We'll start with pie slice number 1, and I'm going to just cut these all evenly. Really, you could. Judd might go 40% on one of these. I'm just going to go even. I'm not going to devote any math mental energy to this team right now. You all get the same pie in the pie chart of blame.
All right.
Kenta Maeda, carrot just turned into a pumpkin here. I'm not saying it's not salvageable, but like, where is the pitcher that finished 2nd in Cy Young Award voting? Mm-hmm. Okay, have a bad inning. That's one thing. Did you forget how to pitch altogether? Are you tipping pitches?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Brutal. It was awful.
So he gets the first slice of pie.
Mm-hmm.
The second slice of pie goes to the closer, Alex Colome. I honestly think he's going to snap out of it at some point. He has too good of a track record over like 7 years to not be a really good reliever this year unless there's something physically wrong with him.
Yep.
But right now he's unusable in close late games.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
You just need to go at some point to a closer by committee. Now, of course, and I'll get into this with somebody else in the pie chart, it's not as easy as just saying, well, why don't you just put Taylor Rogers out there? Well, Taylor Rogers pitched like 2 1/3 and was the reason why the Twins were still leading going into the 9th.
Correct.
In large part. So you got to be careful about if Alex Colome comes in at the same time as Taylor Rogers came in, Oakland's leading. You know?
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as, well, why don't Rogers might be more valuable in a non-ninth inning role for the Twins. All right, third piece of pie, split between Travis Blankenhorn and Luis Arraez. Guys, this is Major League Baseball, okay? These are routine plays. This is not, by the way, like, I know that there was tension in that game yesterday because it was back and forth and it was close and there's runners on base. I get all that, but dude, it's a Wednesday in April. Take a deep breath and make a routine play, both of you guys.
And explain a rise. Blankenhorn freaking
dude, he
out.
Gets nervous.
I sort of get that though. Like he got put in, he didn't, you know, I don't play a lot. Oh my God, I got to make this play. Luis Arraez has spent, I believe, the majority of the first 2 weeks of this season playing third base.
Yeah.
Remember that play I alluded to with Doogie where it was the bases were loaded, I think, and he was shaded up the middle. There was like a soft liner hit up the middle.
Yep.
And I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the details. I just remember there was a triple play, at least like it was a tailor-made double play almost impossible to not get two outs. And he didn't know what base to throw it to, and then he got nervous. He wasn't thinking ahead. He wasn't calming himself down. And I remember telling you guys after that play, this is probably an overreaction, but sometimes there are certain plays and certain things happen where it makes you think differently about that player going forward. And I remember thinking, like, this dude can hit, but I think differently about him as a fielder after that happened. There's no way he can come back from that. And same thing yesterday.
Well, and that's
what are you doing, dude?
And that,
end the game.
Right, and that throw wasn't even close. Like, it wasn't like, oh, that was just high, too bad. He airmailed it into the bullpen.
Yep. And he, by the way, like, I think most third basemen would have fielded and thrown all in one motion. Fast runner. And he sort of like, he fielded, and then he played patty cake three times and then had to rush the throw because he played caddy cake three times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I don't know.
You were correct.
All right. The fourth piece of pie goes to Rocco for two things. Number one, for pinch running Travis Blankenhorn for Josh Donaldson in the 10th inning to start extra innings. And I get that the logical move is, well, you got to put a fast runner there, or and maybe even in the Twins' case, someone who's not going to pop a calf muscle or a hamstring.
Correct.
But if Josh Donaldson is healthy enough to be playing in three consecutive games, a doubleheader back-to-back, and then another game, and he's one of your A, best hitters, and B, best fielders, you should think twice about pulling him from a tied game, especially when Andrelton Simmons is not available to play shortstop. So by hyper-obsessing, and a lot of managers do, they hyper-obsess over pinch running for hitters late in games, in tie games especially, when the game might go two or three more innings, right? And that guy's going to come back around, and now he's out. And I just think you have to put more thought into the side effects that happen, like the next inning when it's a close game, and Byron Buxton hit the home run to put him up by two, but like now you have to lock these guys down with a contact pitcher on the mound. And you don't have Andrelton Simmons, and you don't have Josh Donaldson. So now you've got Luis Arraez, who's not a great fielder, and you've got Travis Blankenhorn, who's never really played in the big leagues, right? And these guys are expected to make plays to end a game against a really good team. So, like, think beyond, like, oh, we need a fast runner at second base. Well, okay, could you forfeit five extra steps on the base paths to protect against having Blankenhorn playing in the field in that spot, you know? That was a beef. And then I think Colome coming back out for a second inning when he's clearly gassed. He's throwing like 50 pitches. Your options included Jorge Alcala, 22 pitches the day before, so not ideal, and he wasn't good. Luke Farrell, 29 pitches the day before, so not ideal. Lewis Thorpe had thrown 10 pitches the day before and 60 pitches 4 days before, so he would have been an option. And Devin Smeltzer was fresh. If you wanted to use Devin Smeltzer, he was fresh. And so the argument might be, well, we don't really trust Smeltzer in that spot. Then why is he on the team? You trust Cody Stashek. Why did he go to? Why is he in the minor leagues right now? Why is Cody Stashek not up here?
Exactly.
It's just like, so front office, Rocco. And then pie chunk number five, the last 17 years of Twins baseball clamming up in big spots. Not always, but almost always. Playoffs, big spots late in games. Like, what are you guys doing? Stop throwing the ball into the upper deck when you can end the game.
It'd be nice.
All right. I'll shut up now.
All right. I got six pieces of pie.
The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
Divide it up in weird, weird ways to torture it into being a 100% pie. I'll start at the bottom. 3% goes to Jay Cave. 0 for 5, 3 strikeouts. What's going on? Like, why is this guy, why is he here? And since he's here, why is he playing so much? And I know now it's because, well, we got COVID running through our team. Again, I ask you this. I ask you a very simple question. Did you really think it would be that bad? Did you really think it would be that tough to put Alex Kirilloff on a commercial flight in 2021 with a mask on to fly to the West Coast to play in this series? Because you had the option and you said it's not worth that risk. Well, you know what? You know what's not worth the risk? These eyes, if you're watching, the Zolgadian eyes, having to watch Jake Cave play baseball, that's not worth a risk to me, okay?
These eyes.
You could have called up Kirilloff, and instead you had me watch Jake Cave. Shame on you.
These eyes have seen a lot of Jake Cave, and they're never going to see another outfielder like you.
I love it. I love it.
The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
All right, fifth on my list. because he was put into a situation that was just perfect for him to fail, and he did. 10% piece of pie. Phil's guy, Travis Blankenhorn, who was asked to pinch run, and I get why, but everything's gone wrong. And this guy, I mean, that, my God, that ball was hit right. That was a third out special. And he's just like, what do I do with that hot potato? Oh, my God, I can't. No.
Yeah, was the ball on fire?
That's like, oh my God. It's like, I mean, it's literally like there was a bundle of TNT that had been lit on fire hit to him. He's like, I got to get out of here. All right.
Okay, here's one more thing real quick on Blankenhorn, because I was thinking, all right, Blankenhorn, you know, why him and not one of these other guys?
Yep.
So Trevor Larnach and Alex Kirilloff, Kirilloff has played more games at AA than Larnach, but Larnach's only played like a half season at AA, and so I can see, all right, like, probably need a little more seasoning before you call these guys up, and Larnach is an outfielder, not an infielder, so
sure,
that's an argument too. I mean, Travis Blankenhorn has only played 93 games above A-ball. So he's not. It's not like he's Mr. Experience either. I guess it's because he's an infielder, and they just need more infielders. And so that's why he was in that game yesterday. But not sure I feel confident using him in the infield.
No, you shouldn't feel confident.
The Rock knows
at all.
How you feel about
pie. All right, my next slice of pie is a, I think this is the first time, 12% slice of pie.
12.
Luis Arraez deserves more pie than Blankenhorn because he's a veteran who's been playing third base all of the time. And my God, I mean, that the throw that he made yesterday is the type of throw that starts a player on the way to the throwing yips. It's Steve Sachs. It's Knobloch. Like, he literally guided that ball into the bullpen across the diamond. That wasn't a, oh, he's got a cannon, and he let loose, and it flew over the head of my favorite player, the Turtle, Williams Astudillo. That ball, like, was shanked. It looked like a golf shot. That is the start of a throwing problem.
And he made the hardest part of the play, which is it was sort of a scorching, too-hot ground ball, right, that could have easily eaten him up or gone through him, and he picks it. That's the hardest part. You picked it. Fast runner, but... Dude, and even if you're going to make a bad throw, at least throw it on a hop, right? Give the first baseman a chance.
But he yanked it.
Err on the side of throwing it on a hop so that the first baseman can scoop it.
But that's the thing, Phil. He didn't even get it close enough to be like that there was a thought behind the throw. He just looked up, panicked, and he shanked the throw. Like, it went into the woods. It's a golf shot that goes into the woods. Like, he threw, the motion was bizarre.
And you know what? I'll tell you what. If you've got that problem, my friends at PXG Minneapolis can help you out here. That's right. If you haven't been to PXG Minneapolis, it's a golfer's paradise. I have a hard time believing you're going to be shanking balls into the woods on the right with these new Gen 4 golf clubs, which have landed. The drivers, fairways, hybrids, irons. These are PXG's flagship clubs, ladies and gentlemen. And if you just want to look good, you're going to shank a ball into the woods, but you just want to look good doing it. PXG's spring and summer apparel has arrived in store, PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center, and find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis.
The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
That was beautifully done. Next piece of pie, 15% to yesterday's starter, Kenta Maeda, who a year ago established himself as your ace. I think there was no question about it. Barrios was next, and I like Barrios, but Kenta Maeda was your ace to the point, as Phil mentioned, he was second in the Cy Young voting. He was that good. Yesterday's start was incomprehensibly bad. It was, I mean, when you woke up yesterday, if you were Baldelli, Falvey, Levine, or just a Twins fan, you said, you know what? It's been a rough start for sure. The road trip's been hell, but we've got the right guy starting. Like, it's not Shoemaker. It's not Happ. We've got the right guy. This is the guy you want. And he didn't go out and have a bad start. He was awful.
Yeah.
He was awful. Like, this is Kenta, you're the one who's supposed to say this ends now, and instead you're like, you know. And I mean, Oakland, look, they've got underrated players. I like them a lot, but they ain't the 27 Yankees. Like, you can beat them. There's no rule that you can't beat them. Next slice of pie, 20%. Alexander, Alex, Gasoline Can, I don't care what your first name is, Colum A.
I think we might have to remove the... I think we might have to shorten the name even more, I think. I think it's just going to be E. Colome based on the defenders behind him. Just pick the E out of his name. It can just be E. Colome for his third baseman and second baseman.
20% slice of pie to him. And this is a season-long achievement award, not just based on one game. 7 appearances, 3 blown saves, ERA at 5.63, 1-2. He has fewer saves than blown saves. It's baffling how he looks like. He looks like a guy right now who was, for the first time in his life, handed the closer's role. Like, oh my God, I'm now a closer? I was a setup guy. This role is too much for me. Except then you look at his 9 years in the big leagues, and he's been a closer for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to wonder if the White Sox knew something. And the White Sox, when the Twins signed Colome to his 1 year contract back in February, broke open a bottle of Dom Perignon and said, that's exactly what we wanted. This is great. And then my final slice of pie, 40%. Rocco Baldelli, okay? I'm actually going to give, with all that went wrong on the trip and the COVID, I'm going to give Rocco a bit of a pass on the Blankenhorn decision because I'm big on get Josh out. Like, I don't trust Donaldson, you know. There's a ground ball into left field. Oh, he's going to cut it loose. Oh, now he's being carried off on a stretcher. But here's where I have a major problem with Rocco, and I think the zen of Rocco might be backfiring or just not working right now. What does Rocco always tell us about his bullpen and his closers? I'm not going to name a closer because I have a lot of guys that can close. We have a lot of guys that will be in different roles, and they'll be slotted here and they'll be slotted there. So why is Alexander Colome now your designated, and he is, 3 blown saves, 2 saves, 5 games in 7 appearances. Why is he the guy who has to close? And I understand that he could have come in and melted down before, but at least get him into a different role right now where you dial down the immediate pressure of, oh my God, it's a save opportunity and I've been struggling. And Rocco is big on telling us, and I fundamentally agree with this. Hey, we don't really have a closer. We have a lot of guys that can do that. So why are you not trying to get Colome back on track by dialing down the pressure in the short term? You've got other options of guys that can close. I mean, Rogers came in, Phil, and he pitched well, and I give him credit, okay? But aren't we to the point where Colome should come in before Rogers right now just to see if a change in direction will get him righted? Like, this Rogers, to me feels like banging your head off the wall.
I wouldn't change Rogers' role. I mean, if there's opportunities for him to pitch the ninth, he should pitch the ninth, but I wouldn't. Like, if you're in a close game and you need a firefighter in the seventh inning, he's great at that role right now.
Yeah.
And that's just as important of a role. Just because you didn't blow the lead in the ninth doesn't mean that, like, you're trying to preserve leads. And sometimes you have to face the heart of the order in the seventh inning, and that's the more important spot in that moment. And so I'm not going to just, like, pull Taylor Rogers from his current role and let him collect dust until they have a lead in the ninth. Now you're causing two problems. But is there somebody else?
But there's got to be another option.
Is there somebody else that you can put in that ninth inning role that you trust more? And, you know, Tyler Duffy would be the obvious option, but he's kind of struggling this year too. So, honestly, I would try Tyler Duffy in that role.
Somebody else needs to be employed, though. Like, you can't tell me constantly, which you do, that you don't have a closer and then bring in the same guy who's pitching horribly right now as your closer. Game after game after game. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
So, all right, there it is. All right, Declan?
Yeah, I got a quick one here. Just 3 pieces of pie. It's pretty self-explanatory. 10% goes to Kenta Maeda. Kenta just is not the same pitcher he was last year. I think regression was inevitable. Look, opponents hit 168 against him last year. Kenta, even though he was phenomenal last, he's not Clayton Kershaw in his prime, dude. Like, he's not that good, so you knew there was going to be some type of regression. But right now, opponents are hitting 354 against him, and he just doesn't look like the same guy. He's not getting the swings and misses he was, and he was supposed to be your ace. So I'm giving 10% of my pie to Kenta Maeda. The next 2 pieces of pie are equal. 40% goes to the bad news bears that is the Minnesota Twins right now. This goes on Rocco. This goes on Blankenhorn entering the game. Luis Arraez throwing across the diamond like I was at 12 years old trying to play third base. This is just awful to watch right now. It's painful getting into the eighth and ninth innings of these games with leads, still not feeling comfortable about the situations. And to Phil's point, the clamming up, pressure is on, the lights are here, and you just bleep down your leg every single time. And it's getting extremely frustrating to watch. So 40% of my pie goes to the Bad News Bears right now that is this Minnesota Twins ball club.
Legitimately one of the most, hard to quantify, but legitimately one of the most mentally weak franchises in the last 15 years in Major League Baseball.
100%. And that's why even in 2019 they got the Yankees weren't worried either. Like, let's slay the Dragon. It's like, no, it's the Twins. They're completely fine. And that's because they used to beat up on them all the dang time. Mm-hmm. Last chunk of pie, 40% goes to Alex Colome. I'm sorry, dude. This guy just is not himself right now. Opponents, again, teeing off on him. He has an exit velocity of 94 miles an hour. His hard hit rate is way up. His ground ball rate is down. His line drive rate is up. Opponents are just having a field day against him. I agree with Phil. I don't think it's completely disastrous, and like fans are saying, even our Twitter mentions that he needs to be cut, DFA him right now, blah, blah, blah. No, he's a good pitcher. He's probably not as bad as these metrics say, but he cannot be continued to rely on in the ninth inning, in the save role. And to Judd's point of Rocco Baldelli not naming a closer, well, dude, you're throwing him out there every single time to be your closer, and he's blown three saves and only has two on him. So 40% of the pie to Alex Colome, 40% of my pie to the Bad News Bears, it is the Twins, and 10% of my pie to Kenta Maeda.
You got a 10% chunk left there, Dex.
The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I don't care. 20%. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I don't care.
I mean, no, but you just didn't have a, like, you didn't make a whole pie.
I went to St. Cloud State, okay?
I went to the store to buy a pie,
I don't even want to give out the last chunk of pie. The 10% of pie can go in the trash.
I want to buy this pie.
I don't even care. Go for it. You can take it.
Yeah, did someone open the pie and break the seal? What happened?
Yep.
What happened?
And they stole a piece of pie?
I just decided that I don't want anything to do with this pie anymore. So I said I'm putting the pie on the side and it can just sit there. I don't need to add up any other piece for it.
Okay. The Rock knows how you feel about pie.
You guys can do it with you and your pie. This is my pie.
Well, there is your pie chart of blame for just an epic, epic disaster loss by the Twins. Yesterday, talking Twins every single day here.
Talking Twins.
Mackie and Judd.
Fire everybody.
So, all right. Well, the other thing we do on Thursdays here, and this might not be good for us today especially, but we go back in the archives. It's called Old Tweets Exposed on Mackie and Judd.
Yeah.
Over a decade of Twitter history to pull from here, and we'll see what Declan has cooked up today.
Well, it was going to be a Jorge Polanco edition of Old Tweets Exposed, and it still is, by the way. It still is a Jorge Polanco edition of Old Tweets Exposed.
He was great yesterday.
And yesterday, of course, he gets a four-hit game. I pull these tweets before the game started. At the same time, they're still relevant. Judd, I think, is going to be your clubhouse winner. If it wasn't, if it wasn't for Mr. Phil Mackey tweeting out about Alex Colome before the inning even starts, I'll tweet it before the inning so you guys can hammer me. Colome is a good reliever who is off to a bad start. He will be fine. And Phil, fine.
Yep.
Big mess up.
Phil self-reported.
Yeah, good for you, though.
Okay, I'll tell you what. So that last inning, his second inning took like 4 hours to complete. It was the slowest walk down the plank. It made Eddie Gordado look efficient and lights out, right? And so I had a retweet queued up of that initial tweet to say, Alex Colome with the well-deserved win in this game. Can't believe all you guys were so nervous. And I was ready to hit send for like a half hour. And then these idiots, Blankenhorn and Rise, decide to just freak out. And so that would have been a great tweet had one of those guys made the play. All right.
Okay, so that's that's very strong.
All right.
I still stand by it.
I did it. Phil Mackey, April 25th, 2017. A lot of Twins positives right now. Miguel Sano is a beast, plus playing solid defense. Buxton figuring it out. Kepler plus Polanco. Good at the plates.
Okay, you know what the most egregious part of this was? The Miguel Sano playing.
Yeah, I was going to report you for the Sano.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What was I drinking? What time was this? Oh, 10:19
on April 25th.
That's quite a few.
This is definitely had a cocktail.
Yeah, that
is
a Manhattan or a finger of
tequila. Oh, Manhattan.
At least.
Oh, boy.
If it's 10 o'clock and that 100%. Late. 100%. Yeah.
That'll knock you out.
Yeah. All right, Mr.
Probably at Red Rabbit.
Yeah. I feel you, man. Not a bad choice. You know, this next one from Judd. He's been loving some Anderson Simmons defense, but on August 21st, 2020, we need to start crediting Jorge Polanco with becoming a pretty darn good shortstop. For as much as we talk about what he can't do in the field, he's doing everything he's being asked to do right now, and he's making plays look easy with on-target throws to Sano.
I blame the pandemic. Look at the date. I blame the pandemic. I was in the midst of the pandemic, okay? Yep. I was looking for anything positive.
Literally 2 months later, he makes a devastating, boneheaded throw.
Oh, God, terrible.
Ends the Twins' playoff game.
And it wasn't because his foot hurt or his ankle hurt. It's because it was a terrible play.
Yeah, all due respect to Doogie, and I get that he's trying to defend Polanco there, but I don't think there was a sharp shooting pain going through his leg when he airmailed that throw. I think there was a sharp shooting pain of nervousness going through his brain,
Rocco,
just like all these other players.
And Rocco said, you know what? I need a real shortstop. Where can I get an anti-vaxxer at shortstop?
Oh, my God.
He can play short. I'll give him that.
Oh, Andrew Simmons fantastic shortstop.
Yeah, he's been great there. All right, mine's not as egregious. But actually, it was a quote tweet from a graphic we made, also very similar to the data Judd's tweet. Which local athlete is more underrated, Jared Spurgeon or Jorge Polanco? And I said, I think the easy answer is Spurgeon because of longevity. But, man, I feel like we don't talk about Jorge Polanco enough either. And I was meaning that he deserves credit for being a very, very good player.
Listen, now, yesterday was the guy that we remember from 2 years ago, where he's super smooth, confident, just lacing singles.
Nice contact.
Sometimes I think he gets a little power happy, and like he swings out of his cleats sometimes. And I just want to tell him, listen, man, the ball ain't juiced anymore. All you have to do is hit like 275.
You're not juiced anymore. The ball ain't juiced anymore. There's really no juice here, Jorge. Sorry about that.
Draw walks and just get on base. Hit singles, get on base. That's all we need from everybody. Doesn't have to be a launch angle home run hitter. Now, if you've got that ability and you're Josh Donaldson and you're Alex Kirilloff or you're Nelson Cruz, launch angle away, baby. If you're Luis Arraez and you're Jorge Polanco, just put on ball and get on first base.
How about Dex? Write that down. Write that down. Hours after his Donaldson prediction fell through because he did not hit a home run from the time we did write that down last week until yesterday, Josh Donaldson comes to the plate and homers. You are snake bit. You are Alexander Colomay.
I wouldn't say I'm snake bit. A certain someone on this show is literally above the Mendoza line right now. I mean, I got a little bit of a snide going, but I wouldn't say I'm snake bit.
Oh, it's getting personal.
Okay,
well, you want to talk about hot and cold streaks. Yeah. I think one of us had a prediction 2 hours after it was made come to fruition. I told you the Twins would score at least 7 runs in a game this week, and boom. They scored 7 runs about 2 hours later.
And you wanted to say 10, and you should have said 10.
I know. 10 would have been a home run. Yeah. I would have gotten the home run yesterday. But oh, well. All right, boys. Well, that was a very therapeutic episode of Mackie and Judd.
I think you do.
Oh, you do for sure.
My Polanco?
Yeah, you do.
Thank you very much.
It's like lavish praise. And to go out of your way to say just how great accurate throws. Look at those pinpoint accurate
I'm blaming
throws.
The pandemic. Anything that happened in 2020, pandemic.
Amazing. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of Mackie and Judd. We are all in on mock drafts and simulations and having fun with those on Purple Daily every day leading up to the draft. So check us out on our other daily show, Purple Daily. And please click subscribe on the Score North YouTube channel. Helps us grow the show and entertain you in your feed every day. We'll see you guys tomorrow. By the way, we're going to do Major League Sports Movie Rewind tomorrow. Mm. Well, we're going to watch a team that rises up in clutch moments and moments of crisis.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.